it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue moon, you saw me standing alone.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair. No team in the history of the FA Cup have competed in six semi-finals in a row. Until now, of course. We'll look back on a comfortable FA Cup quarter-final versus Newcastle. And after the international break, listen to this. Just listen to this. City play, along with other Premier League fixtures, Arsenal in the league, Real Madrid in the Champions League at quarter-final, and they'll Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final. Drink it in, Blues. To discuss that and much more, I've got three guests. Welcome back to Spencer Debson. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, Nigel.
Welcome to Steve Cox. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Nigel.
And welcome to David Blakeney.
Hi, Nigel.
Listen, let's start with that comfortable victory, Spencer, at the weekend against Newcastle. It did take two deflected goals, though, to get us over the line.
Yeah, it did. I mean, this is a sort of classic FA Cup tie for City, for the latter-day City, I suppose, because you could easily see, you know, in times gone by, it was, you know, we could slip up in a match like this, notwithstanding that on paper we would have all thought and hoped for a routine victory. But sure as night follows day, City these days never disappoint. And we were in control of the game throughout, really, weren't we? It might not have been the goal fest that we've become or have become routinely accustomed to. Two sort of slightly quirky Bernardo goals, really, but very, you know, well worked. Newcastle defence clearly backing off. Dan Byrne didn't want to go anywhere near Bernardo or anyone else. And it was just a question of time. And I think Newcastle had that good chance with Ishak, didn't they? Which on another day might have gone in and made it 2-1 at that stage. But we were thoroughly in control of the game throughout. And second half came. The rain came and it all sort of petered out a little bit, one or two chances that we'll probably go on to talk about. But a thoroughly deserved win, a routine FA Cup win. And yeah, onward to the semi-finals.
It was never really in doubt, was it, David?
Well, not really, no. But I mean, I don't know. A lot of these games at the moment seem to be going totally in control, couple of goals, quick goals, same as Copenhagen. And then we just don't seem to do anything after that. We'll sort of go to sleep. Then we have a few edgy moments when they might score or they've missed good chances. Fortunately, they didn't. It seems a bit of a pattern, really, isn't it? So you're always waiting for a goal from them and you're holding your breath because what you don't want is squeaky bum time, do you, at the end? So I don't know. It was just a bit a disappointment in the end, wasn't it?
Were you disappointed?
You're tough.
I was going to say he's getting spoilt, isn't he? You weren't disappointed, were you, Steve? Another trip to Wembley?
Yeah, I mean, I hear where David's coming from, I have to say, but we tend to always have another gear that we can go to if we need to, and we didn't really need to, so we never went there. And it just becomes a bit routine, doesn't it, after a while? The fact that we got two relatively early goals meant that we could take our foot off the gas a bit, and certainly did. And you know, I guess it's just... Same old, I think, as far as that's concerned. But yeah, we have been a bit spoiled sometimes by City absolutely putting teams to the sword, but they tend to do that when they really, really need to. And I don't think on Saturday they ever really needed to.
David, we try and pick out each week sort of some good performers. I'm sure we'll come on to Foden, who in the stadium got man of the match. But I'm just getting a bit bored with saying Rodri's name because every single week, week in, week out, you know, I'm not bored. People say they're bored of watching City. I'll never be bored of watching City. But Rodri, just the consistency of this bloke, the results we got under him is every single week, he is the standout performer. He is a fabulous, fabulous footballer, isn't he?
He's just no nonsense, straightforward, low-key, brilliant player. He's the best at the world what he does now. But you hardly notice him sometimes. Good. He just cleans up, doesn't he? He's solid, he's strong, he does what he needs to. I mean, he's, you wouldn't believe that's a guy the first season that we were having a bit of a go at, going, well, he's not as good as we thought. And then he's just, he's magnificent. So, you know, and I think they mentioned it on the TV yesterday when they talked to us today, when they talked about would we ever replace Fernandinho? Well, he's a slightly different player, but he's, we have replaced him. And that wasn't easy. So that's been brilliant.
I mean, Rodri, I mentioned Foden as well, Steve. Who do you want to pick out of those two? But, you know, suit yourself. You can do them both if you like. Let's leave Spencer with nothing to say about either of those players. Let's see how you do. Okay. Go on, off you go.
So Rodri does what Rodri does very, very well and very, very workmanlike. He doesn't stand out as such, as in he doesn't do anything fancy. I think he does everything particularly well. He's an upgrade on Fernandinho, and I never thought we would get an upgrade on Fernandinho, to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't think that was possible. Foden, alternatively, does lots of neat things exceptionally well. At one point, he received the ball in a space that nobody else could receive the ball and turned, popping the ball through his legs, and was unlucky not to have got on and scored from that particular move. And I think he never ceases to be the energy and the verve around City. And I think he's fast growing into a really, really, really good player. Interesting to see how he'll cope when we get the Messi or the next Messi character we're supposed to be getting from River Plate next year, because he looks particularly good as well. Very, very similar type player to Foden. So be interested to see how that pans out and who gets in and who doesn't. But I have to say, Phil Foden at the moment, absolute joy and a pleasure to watch. He's everywhere, all at the same time. And he even defends as well, which is commendable, very commendable.
And he's got that wonderful thing. He kind of manages to find that pocket of space that the pundits always talk about. And that first touch, when he sort of takes it on the turn, and just the control he has, and he glides with the ball. I mean, it's just a joy, isn't it, Spencer?
Oh, total joy. It's his best season by a mile. And you have a sense with him that he's gone up to this, you know, approaching world-class level. And then this is the player we've got now. You know, he's not just having a good spell. This is sort of the real Phil Foden, if you like. I mean, I was going to mention a couple of other players, if I may. I thought did well. Doku, I think did well, had a really good game. He had a lovely 1-2. I think set some in the second half with got the shot away. But he just looks, the last 2-3 games he's been put in. I don't know if it's that because Grealish is coming back to fitness, but he seems to be getting a little bit of rhythm. You know, after that brilliant start, then it all looked a little bit, you know, checking back all the time, and maybe now he's sort of settling in.
Spencer, just to come back on that. That final ball, though, that you know, the final pass or the final shots, not he's not quite with it, though, is he? To be fair, I know people say he's young and he'll learn, but you know, he's playing for Manchester City here.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. He's clearly not the finished article, and he's had, you know, he's not had the full pep factor. So I think, you know, I do think he's on an improving track, and I do think he is deserving of his place in the team. And obviously, Grealish will come back more into it. So, no, he's definitely not the finished article. Definitely not.
And who was the other player you were going to talk about then? Who else did you have?
Kovacic. I thought Kovacic is, you know, he's clearly a quality, experienced international. This is the player we bought for those reasons. And, you know, he settles things down. Great runner with the ball. You know, choice of passes is on the money every time. So I thought he had a good game. And I think he's slowly but surely, you know, establishing himself really well in the team as well. All in all, I mean, you know, no injuries that I can recall. And, you know, the win's the win, right?
And Steve, as we kind of look forward to the semi-final, another trip to Wembley, as we say, with the looking forward to meeting Coventry, obviously in the final at Wembley. We've got Chelsea in our way. We know a lot about them and a couple of their players in particular. When you saw that draw, were you hoping for the Red Bastards? Were you hoping for Coventry? What were your emotions when you saw that draw?
I was a bit bemused, really, by the way the draw actually went. I mean, it did seem to be, given the fact that it was delayed, it seemed to be a little bit disorganised at first and seemed to be a bit hurried and a bit rushed, and nobody really took the time to explain who was which number and, you know, what the lineup potentially was. But that said, I was actually hoping, yeah, we did. I would have quite liked to see United in the semi-final and see them get knocked out at the semi-final stage, having beaten Liverpool 4-3. That would have been quite funny, quite ironic, and quite unique. I'm going to the Women's Derby at the weekend, so I'm really looking forward to seeing us have a go at them there as well, to be fair. That'll be an interesting game. But Chelsea, Coventry or United didn't worry me in the slightest, because I know we've got more than enough in the tank to beat any of those on our day. I think Chelsea, we probably need to serve them a little bit of something this year, because we've had a couple of games where we've not really managed to get the maximum out of it, and they've actually managed to pull, you know, they managed to play above what their sort of level seems to be this year. They seem to have a level, and there are some games where they seem to be above that level and others where they're below it. So it'd be interesting to play against them. Would like to see the look on Sterling's face and Cole Palmer's face if we knock them out in the semi-final. That would be quite fun, I would have thought.
You're happy with the draw, Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, four teams in it. Of course you want to have Coventry and then go on to the final, but it's quite eye-watering to have a, you know, Stretford City final and sort of have a little bit of a repetition of what happened last year. I think there's a, you know, a even greater satisfaction, I would say. But, I mean, that game yesterday, Stretford-Liverpool, bloody hell, what an incredible, fantastic cup tie. So, yeah, when we eventually meet them and beat them, it'll complete the cycle. Looking forward to it.
I'm just picking up on that again, David. A few words. I'm obviously very sorry for Jurgen Klopp in his last season. He's not going to make the quadruple that obviously all Liverpool fans. I'm sorry for him. You must join me in similar sorrow, surely.
I felt very embarrassed in the way I celebrated yesterday. But boy, did I get up and jump up and down. That smarmy little face, those teeth not gleaming, that real chippy way he has when he loses. He's really extreme, isn't he? From chippy to like smarmy, and it's just magnificent.
I mean, he didn't do the punch in the air loads of time.
I missed that
when he didn't do that. Why didn't he do it? Yeah, they played really well.
I know.
Why didn't he do that?
He got very chippy in some of the interviews, apparently, as well. I think someone.
Yeah, there was a Danish reporter, yeah, apparently, who had a bless it. No, we should all have a few moments to reflect and feel a bit of sorrow for it. Steve, I can see you're looking concerned, my friend. You too must share my concern for Jurgen. It's his last season. Come on, he was going to win everything, and he's not going to do that now. It's not good. It's a shame, surely. Come on, Steve.
No. I don't think it's a shame at all. I don't think there's anything else I'll find more funny if they come away with the Carabao Cup, which we were told was a second-rate trophy when we won it first time around.
Listen, enough. Go on, Spencer.
Hang on. Let's just have a little bit of balance here. In the same way as we like the Messi-Ronaldo thing, if Klopp was not in the English Prem, come on, we wouldn't be all that stuff with Pep and all the, you know, all the camaraderie and the raising standards. So let's have a moment of positive reflection on Klopp. Just a second.
So Spencer Debson's blocked his copybook. He's not coming on for a few weeks. So if you want to get, you can follow him on Twitter, but you certainly won't be hearing him back on the Man City show for a long time.
Lovely knowing you, Knight.
You too, Spencer. It's been lovely. Let's talk a bit more seriously now about kind of the Champions League then, because we kind of know our route to the final. It's obviously done a bit different there, as we know. So we know who we play in the next round in the quarterfinals, and we also know who we can then meet in the semis, etc., all the way through. We know our route through. So Real Madrid it is, Spencer. Real Madrid and Manchester. Again, Real Madrid again. But listen, you're going to get top teams, aren't you, when you get to the quarterfinal of the Champions League, and then potentially Arsenal, of course, or Bayern Munich in the semi-finals. Let's just reflect a little bit on City's run again, continues in all of these competitions, yet another quarterfinal of the Champions League, and one eye on the semi.
Oh, yeah. This is fantastic. Business end of the season. You know, we're all juggling our London-based guys. We're all, can we get up there? Of course we've got to get up there. How do we do this? Who are we playing? I mean, Real, we've had some fantastic games against them, haven't we? We've lost, we've won, we've cried, we've been elated. And I don't see any reason this season why over two legs we can't, beat them and beat them well. We know they've got the superstars in there. We know what Bellingham's done this season. But by all accounts, they're not at the level that they have been in the past. And really eye-watering, exciting. Personally, I think it's good to be at home in the second leg. I mean, Pep seems very sort of detached about it. Well, it is what it is. But I think it is better to be home. I think everybody wants that for the second leg. And my God, the Etihad, the roof's going to come off, isn't it? So yeah, let's do it. Looking forward to it.
Well, I hope it is. A lot of talk about a lot of tourists turning up at these games, David, and the crowd have been sort of criticised, haven't they, in a number of quarters. You'd like to think we're going to be up for a tie against Real Madrid in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about how quiet they are and that a lot of the fans who turn up now almost like sightseers or something. But there's been, I've heard a few things on the radio talking about their theory on why the crowd are not with it. I mean, I think with Real Madrid, yes, it will be. But I think, I suppose, with most of the games, they've been so straightforward that it's quite hard to get behind it, isn't it? There's not that anxiety. I think Real Madrid will be red hot, the atmosphere. I mean, we don't get it easy, do we, in these draws? I mean, we do seem to get quite a hard route. But I suppose if you get them out of the way, I'd rather play these teams twice than in the final. So in a way, it's probably a better thing that we've got this route. And just might, you know, what I don't want to do is play Real Madrid in a final. So I think in a way, I don't know what it is with European games, but we just don't have that atmosphere like Liverpool do, United do, and all the others. So who knows?
And what are your thoughts, Steve, ahead of this one?
Well, I think Real Madrid and Bayern Munich probably cursing the fact that whichever way they go, they've potentially got us again, to be perfectly honest. Real Madrid definitely got us. Bayern Munich might have us. I'm actually looking forward to it. Unfortunately, I've made the mistake of booking my holiday whilst both of those games are on, so I'm going to be watching them from somewhere else in the world. But I'm really looking forward to it. I really hope the atmosphere is there. My son's going to be going. He's absolutely made up for it. He's really looking forward to it. And, put on a good show.
I don't want to sort of look forward too much because obviously each game at a time and so on. But if we just look at the draw, as I said, we know our route. Just remind ourselves of the other four in the other half of the draw, if you like. PSG played Barca and Atletico played Dortmund, David. Which of those, let's kind of just think positively for a moment and that let's say City get all the way through and whether it's Arsenal or Bayern Munich in the semis. Let's just assume for a moment, and I'm not assuming anything, we're just sort of playing a game here. If City were to make it to Wembley, I hope you're back for Wembley, Steve. I hope that you're not away for the Champions League final. Just checking.
I should be back in time for the semi-finals and the final. Don't worry.
That's all right. Okay, good. David, PSG, Barca, Atletico, Dortmund, I mean, all great sides. Fancy any of those particularly? Any that you fear particularly?
Not really, no. I think Atletico might be more difficult than Dortmund. We've had some tough games against them. I think they've played quite well this year, haven't they? I know they're not top, but they've only just lost their sort of home record at the weekend, and they had a very good run at home. PSG is very... You never know with PSG, do you? Because they are relying on one player. And I think we need to try and get Real Madrid out of the way before Mbappe joins next year. He might make them a very different side. So it's almost got to take advantage this year. Very hard to say, though. I mean, who knows what PSG are like in these games now because they've got such a weak league, you know. And then when you look at the German league, who would have thought what's happening there? So, you know, Bayern maybe aren't as strong as we thought. Harry Kane's good at, against us. So that'll be interesting as well, won't it? If we get through.
Steve, your thoughts on the other side of the draw, Steve?
I kind of fancy Barcelona to do PSG. I think Atletico will probably get there ahead of Dortmund, and I reckon Atletico-Barcelona would be an amazing semi-final to watch, to be fair. I would probably put money on Atletico, actually, because I think they're better at defending than Barca are, and I think they'll probably eke it out over the two legs. So, I mean, I would back our team in two legs over any team. Like David, I always fear about the one-off game of the final. I quite like a two-legged. It's a shame we can't have a two-legged final, to be fair.
Let's look forward to the Premier League then. And Spencer, when you look back on the season, find ourselves where we are after the season that we just had, to still be in contention for the three big competitions, 1 point in it between the top three, having not beaten Liverpool and them not having beaten us, this means that this Arsenal game straight after the international break is massive, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely massive, absolutely massive. And like, as you say, to imagine coming off the back of last season that we would be in this situation in mid-March, it's a really incredible testament to Pep's longevity, the team development, and, you know, we, I think, would be favourites for, dare I say, all three competitions right now. And it really, we really can do it. You know, and as far as the Premier League goes, I mean, Arsenal are arguably stronger than last year. They probably are. They've probably got that belief and learning, you know, that from last year. They've been banging the goals in without having a number nine, as we see sort of week after week. So this really will be a big test, and I'll always back City, especially at home, to win the game. We remember last year at this time when we played Arsenal, and we gave them a lesson and on that day, and we were far superior. I think it'll be far tighter this time, and it will be, we're really close. I mean, I'm going to back City to win the game. We need to win the game, but yeah, this is the game of the season so far, no question.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we always say this, Steve, don't we, of course, that City kind of season after season really sort of come into their own at this stage of the season. But three teams, 1 point, it's not been as exciting as this for a long time.
No, it hasn't. I mean, you look at it, the one thing that really annoys me, though, you see a lot of City fans actually moaning about the fact that we're third in the league without contemplating the fact that this time last year we were 8 points off the top with the same number of games to go, and we're in a much better position this year than we were then to have a chance at winning it. Liverpool and Arsenal suffering from similar issues, Liverpool particularly from injuries, so I can see that they may drop points over the next month or two. The Arsenal game is a really, really crucial one, though. We really have to go at them hammer and tongs and put them in their place. And I think we potentially could end up playing them three times in a very short space of time.
David, your reflections ahead of the Arsenal game? I know we've got the international break coming up before that, but your thoughts on the Arsenal game?
I suppose injuries will play a part. It's a must-win game, really. I mean, I think I bought my seat behind the sofa for that one. That will be a nail-biting game. I mean, I just hope we come good, because we, you know, when we all talk about this part of the season, when we come good, well, we've come good now for the last sort of, we've just been on a fantastic run. I think if you look at the stats, I think we won about 18 out of 20 and drawn the other two. I mean, we've already been on a good run. We've got to keep that going for another 15, 16, 18 games, don't we? So I think it's going to be tough. And Arsenal do look good. And that, I think it's going to be a very different game to last year. So we're going to need everyone on it and a real sort of tempo at the beginning. Like last year, we need to play that the same. And, you know, we don't have Gundogan to rely on this year because he came good at this year and he made a massive difference, didn't he? So, yeah, I think we need everyone to come good.
And, Steve, I'm kind of asking these questions as we come to the end of the season, towards the end of the season, in terms of this run-in. And we're looking at clearly the other two teams who we're in a fight with. Your thoughts about that run-in and to win the treble again, to win the Premier League, oh, I mean winning the Premier League four times in a row, which has just never been done before. We're just breaking records all over. Just to maintain that level of performance, can it happen? Is it, or are we going to run out of steam eventually? We're going to run out of steam eventually. We've got to lose it to someone at some point. In your heart, in your brain, what's going to happen?
Well, my head agrees with you that at some point or other our luck must run out, but my heart would say it's got to carry on as long as it possibly can. It is boiling all kinds of blood everywhere at the moment, the success that we're actually having. The players don't seem any less hungry for it now than they did last year. David quite rightly points out we've changed a bit of personnel change this year, but the players that have come in seem to be quite eager to achieve the same things. And actually, if we're lucky with injuries, then I think we have a really good chance of doing it. Hopefully De Bruyne's injury that he seems to have picked up is a very minor one, and he gets back to fitness again very, very quickly, because I think we need his kind of ingenuity in midfield sometimes. I think when we're struggling to break teams down, he seems to be the guy that comes up with the pass. And Rodri seems to go to another level with De Bruyne next to him, because I think the kind of the two of them tend to work very much in tandem and they create a really good timing mechanism for our midfield. No, I think we've got to be positive, Nigel. After all the years of not being positive at all as a City fan, I think we've actually earned our time in the sun.
But there's a reason, Spencer, isn't there, why no one has run 1-4 on the trot. It does, the treble twice doesn't happen very often either. There's a reason for that, isn't it?
Well, of course there's a reason. I mean, cup games are one-offs and prone to all the quirky things that happen in one-offs. But the Premier League is the Premier League, and those clichés tend to be true, don't they? You know, it is the best that rises to the top in the Premier League. And, you know, five out of the last six, that has been deservedly us. This season is super close. Of course it is. But there's no reason at all why it can't be us again this season. And yeah, if that's numerically four and it's never been done before, then that's yet another record that's open to us. I mean, we've been saying it, haven't we, podcast after podcast. It's probably going to go to the last day. Everybody's capable of a slip up of us, ourselves, Liverpool and Arsenal. And the one that slips up least will win the league, you know. So it's going to be very tight. It could be us. It might not be. But in my heart, you know, I do feel, I think we're going to end up with at least one of the two cups that we're in. We may or may not get the league. But it's just incredible that we're in this position. And I do think that most City fans believe we'll get at least two out of the three. And why not the three out of three? This team is at such a level that it's absolutely possible. The fact we're even contemplating it shows the quality and the maturity of the club and the team. So it's truly, truly, truly exciting.
Head or heart, David?
Oh my! The head says yes. The heart says I'm not sure, because that's my heart. I have a bit of a dicky heart when it comes to us watching. I've always wondered, especially in the last couple of years watching us and the nerves you go through, what would we be like if we weren't City fans watching City now? How would we analyse City in comparison to being a fan and then analysing it? Because all I hear on the radio is we're this brilliant. The bookies come on, we're strong favourites for everything. We're only 8-1 for the treble again. We're this, we're that. And they go on and on. You're thinking, we haven't won it yet. But they put us in most incredible. But they're looking at it different to we do. We have that always that bit of worry and nervousness and bias towards it might, you know, we'll moan more than people watching us would moan. They say, what are you moaning about? You're unbelievable. And we're going, yeah, but you missed that. And why did Foden do it? Or this one miss? Quite interesting. So the heart and the head are very different in my book.
Well, the bookies are more often right than wrong, aren't they?
Yeah. Please, God. I'll tell you one thing, by the way. I mean, you know, they all say he's a better manager and all this, but just for records, the amount of records, you talk about six semi-finals. If we add up at the end of this era, the records we have set, by far, yes, Ferguson might have won more trophies in the UK, but when you look at every single points record, score record, runs record, this record, that, it's mind-blowing what level we've got to. Yeah, even the 100 goals we've scored that season, no one's ever been like that in the history of the English game. So in a way, incredible.
And that's where I wanted to finish, because as I think our two listeners do know, that I also write a weekly column for the Man City page on the BBC Sport website. And this week, it's only 200 words or whatever, but this week I've done it on Pep, because I often will think about, you know, Rodri or Foden, and I give them a quick mention. But actually, for all the reasons you've just said, David, to be in this position at this stage of the season, on the back of the season that we've just had, is just phenomenal. For him to reinvent this team, I think, is it just Kevin De Bruyne is the only one now left from the original squad that he inherited? Is that right? Have I got that right? Yeah, it's a completely new... Or was De Bruyne not even there when he was there? I don't even remember whether... It's certainly one or two players, if that. But what a manager he has been. He's absolutely forensic. And I just kind of wanted to kind of almost pay tribute to him, really, just in your final sentences, in your final summing up, if you can. For all the reasons David's given, the reason we are where we are, the reason that we've got the trophies in the cabinet, has got to be down to that man. He is an absolute genius, and has got to be the greatest of all time, in my view. And that's not just because of the sky blue shirt I'm wearing or the sky blue spectacles I'm looking through. He is absolutely fantastic. And I just think that keeping those egos, doing the rotation, keeping everybody happy, and just delivering at the level that team does, is all down to him, in my view. Great players, of course, we know that. But what a Matt Spencer, I'll shut up and let you have. But what a genius, what a manager. We've got so much to thank him for, haven't we?
Oh, I agree with every syllable, Nigel, you said there. I mean, we had good managers, didn't we, before Pep? We'd won the league. We had won the FA Cup. We'd won the Carabao. Hadn't won the Champions League. But when he came, he took us to a new level straight away. And then as time goes by, you then see the influence he has on the wider game, the influence it has throughout the Premier League, throughout the leagues below. He is a unique manager of the modern game. And as you just said yourself there, to manage that with the complexities and the egos and all the finance that's around in the modern game is not easy. He is one clever guy in multiple levels. You know, often managers, they might be a great coach, but they're not very good at other levels. But, you know, he knows, like when he went to embrace KDB the other day, you know, when he came off the pitch, and, you know, he's got that, you know, individual coaching quality with all the players. And he is, I'm sure history will show him to be the greatest of all time. He's absolutely incredible.
Steve, do you want to add your words to honour and admire Pep Guardiola?
Yeah, we've seen good football managers and good football coaches over the years that have made players better than they were at the start, but generally in the same position that they were in at the start. But you look at what Pep has done with players like John Stones. John was no doubt a talented player. We all believed him to be a talented player, but he had his problems. You look at the transformation in someone like John Stones now, and it's not just John, it's other players in that team have benefited from Pep's attention to detail, the fact that he sees things in a way that other managers doesn't, the fact that he's able to communicate that message across to people, the fact that he can inspire people to change and go for
things that, you know, they might not have considered themselves as being capable of doing, and puts that together in one team. It is absolutely phenomenal what he's done with City. It's not the club that I used to watch all those years ago. It's a totally different club. And people will say, oh, it's all down to the money. It's not. It's down to the individuals that have come on board, and it's down to the fact that the club have given Pep their full backing, and they've put a system in place that has enabled him to actually do the things that he does very, very well on the training pitch and on the football pitch. No better manager, in my opinion, than Pep.
David, the final words with you, my friend.
Well, number one, he's transformed two clubs to be the most memorable, the most brilliant, and the way they changed the face of football in both us and Barcelona. He's got a team behind him and a board who give him so much comfort that he's allowed to go out there and just be himself. He's got no one. He is the boss. And without the team behind him, he wouldn't be allowed to. He might have not been as brilliant as the amazing team. And I think the most important thing is, when Fergie left United, that club fell apart. I think Pep will leave us, and we will have a team when Pep does go. The real brilliance of Pep will be if the next season, the season after, we carry on in the same way, because that will prove to make him even better as a manager, to leave a legacy and a team that can carry on what he's left. That will be a really interesting one as well. So,
well, my three guests have certainly left a legacy as well this week. Huge thanks to Spencer Debson, to Steve Cox, and to David Blakeney. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.